So would you welcome a good friend of mine from Swift Current, Saskatchewan, Lauren Davis.
I want to share a message the Lord gave me for this season. And it's a message on fullness. I believe that 2024 is a doorway to a fullness season. We're coming into the fullness of presence, the presence of God, the fullness of power, the fullness of anointing, the fullness of glory, the fullness of harvest. The seed that you have sown, for some of you, came up and it was meager. But now that same seed's going to produce in fullness, 30, 60, and 100-fold. I'm seeing 100-fold in seed over the situations and what you have planted. And God's measure in this season will be a much more measure. Because Romans 5, 20 to 21 says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So it's the year of the open door. It's the year of the much more. So in this year, what has happened in the spiritual realm is that there are portals or windows in heaven that have opened up, and there is an ease of access to those portals. There's an ease of access to the revelatory realms of heaven. So there's that's a vertical manifestation, and then there are horizontal doors. They open this way. Now, I want to share something with you because I want to share this morning on what the Apostle Paul did. He said, I will not preach except what the Lord has worked through me. So 1985, I'm a young believer, and I'm in a men's conference, full gospel businessmen men's advanced conference. And I'm in a session, and the session's over, the preaching's over, the altar call's over. I'm just standing there, and the worship is continuing, and I'm worshiping, and my hands are like this. And while my hands are like that, a mantle comes upon me. And I'm so young in the Lord, I don't know what this means. And a mantle came upon me. It was like a coat that someone had put upon me from the front. And it was incredible in the dimension of its spiritual authority and power. And the mantle was about this thick, that thick, all around my arms and on the front of me. And that mantle stayed there for a while, and then it left. It was very much like David. David was anointed to be king of Israel. Samuel came and anointed him in his father's home. But he didn't become king of Israel, or king of Judah, rather, for a few years. He went back to the backside of the desert into the sheepfold. And then all of a sudden, you find out that he experiences another anointing as king of Judah, then another anointing yet as king of Israel. And so there's a progression. There's a progress in your maturity level before God brings the fullness of that anointing or the fullness of that mantle or the fullness of that gift and calling that you stepped into. It's like initially it's a mantle of promise that is fulfilled at a later date. Hallelujah. And so last night sitting in this conference, I'm sitting right behind Pastor Craig, and from time to time that mantle would show up, but this time that mantle manifested last night, and I know what it is, and it came upon me, and it didn't come this time to go, it came to stay. Hallelujah. And the manifestation of that mantle, I'm yet working through the process because there are several things that have happened in my life, but that mantle I sensed again this morning. Hallelujah. And I know that that mantle is not a mantle for me to operate strictly and only within our local church. Our church is a twin to this church. Hallelujah. I feel the same atmosphere. I feel at home. I love the worship, and it's an awesome thing. But you know what? I got comfortable. Sometimes prophets, they like to find little caves and hide out there because we're solitary and we can be isolated kinds of people. And I got comfortable in my little victory cave. And it was like a little cocoon, a nice little warm place where I could be sheltered in, and I didn't want to leave it. And what God will do, he'll bring certain people into your lives to fulfill your destiny by pulling you out into uncomfortable situations. Situations that you don't think you're called to, but situations that will expand you, situations that will grow you, situations that will challenge you. Therefore, never think that, oh no, because this is uncomfortable, it's not God. Come on. And so what we had happen in our church, we had a lovely Mennonite couple come into our church. Wonderful people. From a very traditional Mennonite background coming into our church. And I think it's because they had a need. And this lady's here this morning. Melissa, stand up. Come on, give him a little bit of a wave. When Melissa came in, she got baptized in the Holy Ghost, began to speak in other tongues. And for quite a while, every time we laid hands on her, she did carpet time. So she's soaking up the presence of God. And she would stand up and she'd go, whoa, God is real. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, taste the Lord and see that he is good. There's something about that, something that goes beyond. You might have a theology, you might have a doctrine, but I want to tell you something. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he'll change you into another person. Hallelujah. When the fire of God burns brightly in your heart, all of a sudden, you can do something you've never done because you've become someone you've never been before. So she seemed all nice for quite a long time. You know, soaking up all this stuff. Then one day she comes to me and she says, Pastor Lauren, I want you to come out to this meeting because I want you to pray at it. What meeting is that, dear? Well, that's the meeting of the trucker convoy. Freedom convoy. And how many of you know the name Chris Barber? Chris Barber, Tamara Lynch, the leaders of the trucker convoy. Chris Barber is from Swift Current. I didn't know him, but maybe Melissa knew him. She says, you got to come out, and we're having this roundup of trucks, and we're coming out there, and you're going to pray. And I'm going, I'm going to pray. You're taking me out of my nice little cocoon, my safe place where nothing is challenging me really that much. Okay, I'll go. Okay. Because sometimes you don't know. And it's harder for me to discern an open door horizontally than it is to go through a vertical window. So I go out there, and there's a whole bunch of truckers, and I'm called to pray, and I pray. I think, okay, this is interesting. And Chris and Tamara, they go down to Ottawa, and what we don't understand is this is a move of God. This was a genuine, absolute move of God. And most pastors, I think, didn't recognize it, but I had no choice. So they got charged. They got charged with a charge of mischief. And Chris Barber's down there in Ottawa quite a bit going to court. And then Melissa says, well, we're going to do a fundraising event. So there we are in a hockey rink south of Swift Current. I think it was 500 people in the rink at that time. And she says, you're going to pray, Pastor Lauren. So I'm looking around and I said, Lord, what have you done here? There was every denomination in that building you could think of, Baptists and Catholics and Pentecostals, and every denomination was there, and they were all unified because there was one cause, the cause of freedom, the cause of supporting somebody who I think was unjustly accused. And in that mix, of course, were all the denominations in absolute unity, which is a wonderful thing, and then unbelievers. It was the most curious mix I've ever seen in my life. And then I'm going to pray at the end of it. And so what happens that towards the end of it, this guy gets up and he's not a believer. And he's venting on Justin Trudeau with expletives undeleted. And the air turns blue. Then Melissa gets up and he said, Pastor Lauren's now going to pray. Hallelujah. So I thought, well, this is awesome. I don't know where I've seen a better situation for the presence of God and for the name of Jesus to be declared. Hallelujah. You've got everything there. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I command every lie to be exposed. I command every facet of evil to be severed. I command that truth be realized in that courtroom. And Lord, you will be present there with mighty angels of God, and justice shall be executed. Hallelujah. And truth shall remain. In the name of Jesus. Now that's, you know, what better situation? Did you know people got saved in that trucker's convoy? They got saved in Ottawa and got baptized in water. It was a move of God. And it expanded me. And it did something in me. Now, I have three friends who do that to me Melissa was one. Craig's another one. Yeah, Pastor Lauren, we're going to do popcorn prophecies. Well, sometimes that'll put you right on the edge. But if you step across the edge, you'll find the fullness. Amen? Now, the Bible says in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. In the fullness of time was pregnant with Jesus. And Jesus came into a very dark time when Rome was ruling. Rome was extremely dictatorial. The Caesars were worshipped as gods. It was full of idolatry and witchcraft. Can anybody see a parallel to our time? Never be dissuaded or concerned about the darkness that is here. Don't let it disturb you one single moment. I'm hearing people say, oh, it's bad. It's bad. It's so bad. We got to get out of here. No, it's so bad. We got to stay here because we're the answer for the darkness. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. So the first miracle that Jesus enacted speaks to our time. So 30 years later, after he's born, he finds himself at a wedding. A wedding is where two people are joined together and become one in unity under covenant. What happened over this weekend is we saw pastors and leaders and ministries come together in a dimension of unity I don't think I have ever seen before. And what happened at that wedding? There was new wine. And the Lord is serving and saving the best wine for last. Hallelujah. Because this is the fullness of time. Come on, church. A partial hardening in Romans 11:25 has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And we're nearing that time of the fullness of the Gentiles. Israel's enemies have surrounded them. Iran attacked them for the first time in history. Come on. And apparently Israel has responded. I mean, things are hot and heavy. Hallelujah. But I just go, you know what happens if Russia comes on the mountains of Israel in response to this, all of a sudden you're going to see someone rise up called the Lord of hosts, the King of kings. Hallelujah. And he's going to step on the mountain of all those, and all those enemies will be defeated because it doesn't take much light to repel darkness. And guess what? We're the light in the darkness. The church was set here for this time, not to escape, but to occupy, because we have everything it takes to overcome. Hallelujah. Now, it's a come up here time. Fullness is a heaven down view. And I felt for years I was praying from the ground up. And the Lord changed my dynamic of prayer from the ground up to heaven down. And I want to tell you how he did that. I'm watching my time. There are things in the Lord we cannot access without humility. The Lord spoke a word to me. He said, if your pride's big, your cross is small. If your cross is just a lapel pin and not a function, you'll not gain that level of humility necessary to access the dimensions of God in this season where you hear from heaven and go through the portals of glory. My concern was, Lord, I don't know how to be humble without being proud about my humility. You ever been concerned about that? How can I be humble without it being me? How can I be humble? Lord, I need something more than me to be humble. I don't want a fainted humility. I don't want to put on humility. That's gross in the sight of God. Amen? But I know we need to pick up our cross and deny ourselves. And sometimes God will use you when you're in certain situations and circumstances that are beyond your control and he shows up. I got COVID. And after quite a while having COVID, my wife dragged me to the hospital. Now, this is my little wife over here. Put up your hands, honey. Her name is Vivian, but they call her the Vivinator. Oh, she's the Vivinator. Don't ever kid yourself. Let me just slip this in. There are things in the natural, things in everyday life that sometimes the Lord will use to sharpen your prophetic understanding and your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Here's one thing he did. Now, this is what happened to me. It might sting a bit, but it happened to me. My wife would ask me, she'd never asked me for unreasonable things to do around the home. She just asked me, my initial response always was, no. I don't know why, that just came out of me. And the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, stop saying no. Because you're building something on the inside of you unconsciously where you'll begin to say the same thing to the Holy Spirit. And you'll not be able to immediately obey the Holy Spirit. And to obey is better than sacrifice. He said, stop saying no. You're building something that's negative on the inside of you. So I began to say yes to everything. I never argued. I never said, why do you want me to do that? She'd say, hun, do this. I just go. Okay, one more story. I got two stories. I'm gonna finish. The second story had to do with Lord using natural circumstances to reveal how submitted I was, because the sons of God are those that are led by the Spirit of God. Can you be led? And I thought, hey, Lord, you know, I'm fairly sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I think I'm being led pretty good here. Until one day, you know, how many men and women in here would understand that if you go driving, the man drives? I don't know about you. I drive 99.99% of all times everywhere we go. My wife sits in the passenger seat. So I'm used to being in charge. So one day we're going to go to the church, and I bought my wife a nice new car. And I said, honey, drive the car. I'm sitting in the passenger seat. So we go out, go down the road a little bit, and I go, whoa, you look like you're over the center. Are you over the center line? I think you're over the door. Bring it back over this side. I feel you're over the center line. And then next thing I go, whoa, you hit a pothole. Did you see that pothole? No, you hit another one. It was over there. My wife's a really good driver, you know. And then we come out of the church parking lot, and we're in a four-wheel drift sideways coming out of the back. What's the rush? Well, there's a truck behind me. And I wanted him to say, well, it's his problem. It's not your problem. You don't have to go that fast. And she gives me the Vivinator look. If you don't like my driving next time, get in your own vehicle and drive by yourself, big boy. And I realize this is a litmus test to my submission and obedience, and I'm failing the test. And then the next thing I do, and I don't say anything this time. I think we're going too fast. And I look over, and the speedometer says 40 clicks. Maybe my perspective is warped. Okay, let me get back to what the Lord did. I got COVID. My wife drags me to the hospital. I'm in the hospital. I'm on intravenous antibiotics. I'm on steroids. I'm on oxygen. The doctor comes to my door in the room, and he looks at me and says, here's what happens. We put you on oxygen, then we give you more oxygen, then we give you more oxygen, then we intubate you, and you'll probably die. And they're mad at me because I'm not vaccinated. 3 days in, I'm going, this is the most oppressive thing I've ever been under in my life. I can't pray. I can't read my Bible. The only thing I do is put some music on my phone. And 3 days in, I say, Lord, is this it? Am I going to die? And I was serious. Now, do you know where your source is? I'm sitting there, and right from here came the answer. Out of my spirit came the answer. No audible voice, no cloud, no angel, nothing. Out of my spirit came the answer. You're not going to die. It's not your time. And I said, I'm not going to die. It's not my time. 3 days later, I was out. It took a month to recover. One day, I'm coming out of my bedroom. I put my house coat on. And I'm walking. We have a two-story house. I'm walking. I hit the first steps. I'm in the spirit. I hit the landing way. I come down to the landing way. I'm in the glory. My wife appears at the bottom of the steps at the main level, and she says, "He's been waiting for you." And I came downstairs into my little place where I pray, and I had the most wonderful, intimate experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the next year, he would wake me up at 3 in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, 4 in the morning, and it would be the same thing. I never asked him for anything. I just experienced the wonderful glory of an intimate presence with the living God. And one day, after all that time, I find myself in what I call the divine council of heaven, and I'm hearing what God is speaking over the nation of Canada. And it's my job to hear what he says and to speak it out over the nation of Canada. But in that hospital, in that crisis moment, I said, "God, I don't care if I ever speak again. I don't care if I'm ever in the podium again. I don't care for any position. I don't care if I for any recognition. I just want to know you." And I found out that's humility. And it changed my life.
The other one. I met Renee about 6 years ago. Renee is the apostolic founder and lead pastor of Trumpet of Truth Christian Ministries in Woodstock, Ontario. Anybody here from Ontario? Grew up in Ontario? What? You're not? You don't want to admit it? What? You guys? The church's diverse ministries feed and provide mentorship and escape from addiction to her city's homeless and drug addiction. Got a great ministry there. Renee is married to her husband, Brad. They have 2 daughters and 2 granddaughters. One of the things that really impressed me about Renee is when the pandemic, when they shut everything down, they wouldn't let her go in her building in the middle of the COVID winter. She got a flatbed truck and she preached outside Sunday after Sunday in the freezing, humid winter in Ontario for 2 winters. And never gave up, and she just said, "No, we're preaching the gospel no matter what." So I want you to welcome Pastor Renee McIntyre.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm just going to warn everybody I'm loud, so be careful. You'll be ready for and to, you know, do what you got to do back there on the soundboard. Okay, do you guys do know it's early, right? Like, you guys have to be the super holy of Calgary because you were here at 8:30 and I was barely functional. So good on you. That's amazing. I couldn't believe it. I don't have to be to church till 10:30, so that was quite the test for me this morning, but it was great. So I'm glad to be in the presence of the super holy. Praise the Lord. So Pastor Craig asked me to come and share alongside Lauren and to just kind of infuse what I saw the theme or the thread or what the Lord was saying through the conference. And so I'm super happy to do that. I want you to just be ready in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And really, I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures there. Hallelujah. You know, one of the main themes was that we are in the era of war, that we have come out of peacetime into wartime. And the most important thing that we have to understand is that as Christians, we have covenantal obligations and we are supposed to be living out those obligations. When we come into the covenant of Jesus Christ, we are saying yes to what Jesus Christ has done. We are saying that we have an understanding, a revelatory understanding, not a mental understanding, but that there is a revelatory understanding of what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ is the heart of the Father to us, to mankind. Jesus Christ is the redemptive purposes for the nations of this world. And we are committed. Those redemptive purposes are committed to us. So we, when we say yes, we are saying yes to going from one kingdom, a kingdom of darkness that has given us pain, that has harmed us, that has abused us, that has betrayed us, and that has messed up our mental health, that has messed up our ability to be able to see correctly, to be able to walk straight. We just get wrapped up in sin. We are in that world of darkness. We were born into it. We were corrupted, not because God corrupted us, but because the corruption of man corrupted us, because we were groomed that way, right? But when we said yes to coming into the kingdom of light. When we said yes to believing that the power, what Jesus Christ did on the cross, was far more powerful, far more significant than what anybody ever did to us, right? When we said yes to Jesus Christ, we said yes, not just to coming into a kingdom of comfort, but into a kingdom of soldiers. Into a military battalion. Would you agree? But most of us think that we said yes to lazy boy comfort chairs. We didn't say yes to that. He said he would bring comfort to your soul. He said he would bring comfort to your mind. He said he would bring peace to your families. He didn't say he was going to deliver you from the trouble of the world. He said, now that I clean you up by my blood, I'm going to send you into the chaotic war that is going on in the world. But most of us don't want to understand that. So with the revolving theme being war, I want to talk to you a little bit today about what it is to be in the military of Jesus Christ. Most of us never even get out of boot camp. Boot camp in the natural is only about 10 weeks. And most of us will spend 30, 40, 50 years and never get out of boot camp. We will never be deployed into active duty. And we die frustrated. Yeah, well, there it is. We're asking God, what's my call? What's my call? Let me tell you what your original call is, what your call is. Your call is to walk in the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. Your call is the same as my call, and it is to allow God to resurrect you into the new creation. But most of us continue to walk around confessing the name of Jesus Christ, completely crippled by what is supposed to be dead. All of the things that happened to us before we said yes to Jesus Christ doesn't exist anymore. But we walk around carrying around, we're walking around in grave clothes. We stinketh. We're basically dead when we're supposed to be alive. You will never bring resurrection power to a nation if you don't live in it yourself. Resurrection power doesn't look like going to the morgue and raising a corpse out of a pretty coffin. It can happen. What resurrection power is getting you up out of your grave without any of the pain. When Jesus Christ gets you up out of your grave, there is no betrayal. There is no pain of betrayal anymore in your life. It doesn't matter what happened to us, guys. Listen, I have lived. I understand. I have been very acquainted with betrayal, with pain, with sexual abuse. My ex-husband tried to murder me. I have been beaten. I have been beaten black and blue. I have had all kinds of things. I have had my face kicked in literally by the one who was supposed to be my protector. I have every reason to be crippled by pain, but I don't have a right because I have said yes to the commander of this world. I have said yes that the greatest assault, my favorite sermon to preach at Christmas time, is not about a baby in a manger. It's about the greatest attack of war. It was the greatest move. It was a total invasion, and it was an act of war. It was a sneak attack because he sent him in like a baby. It was a sneak attack. It was amazing. We do not have the right. You have to understand this, because we are in a season of war, not just a season, an era. Our generations coming up after us are depending on every single one of you and me in this room who's hearing my voice, every single one who actually confesses Jesus Christ across this globe, they are depending on us to rise up in glory, in resurrection power, in resurrection life. We got to stop talking about it, and we got to start living it. Do you agree? How many people, listen, walking around with the pain of abuse is, I'm sorry, listen, I want you to understand when I am very bold. But the reason I am bold is because the more you play footsies with the devil and the more you live outside of the revelation of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, the more you're going to suffer. I don't want you to suffer. I want you to get up out of the grave. I don't ever want you going back to the grave. I don't want you grave digging. I don't want you walking around in pain, because Jesus Christ took all of your pain. He took it. So it's actually illegal to walk around with pain. The minute, even after, you know, if Pastor Craig was to hurt my feelings, I don't have a right to stay hurt. I have an obligation. I have an order from my commander in chief to get to the cross and get it dealt with, get moving back into active duty. See, one of the things is that one of the problems about getting out of boot camp is that we want to lick our wounds instead of giving them to Jesus. I know that it's hard. I am well acquainted with pain, but I am more acquainted with my Savior. Now, I will not fellowship with pain. I will not fellowship with betrayal. I will not fellowship with any of it. So I fellowship with Jesus, the one who took my pain. When you read Isaiah 53, it tells you what he did for you. We all, like pretty good little Christians, like to pretend we're humble with ridiculous sayings like we're all just broken vessels. I will slap you silly if you come up and tell me that I am broken. I will slap you silly, and I'm not joking. Because I am not broken. I lived most of my life broken, and it absolutely destroyed me. It was destroying my marriage. It was destroying my family, and it would have taken out my grandchildren as well. Nobody will ever live to tell the story that I went up and told Renee that we're all just broken little vessels. Because it is an affront to my Savior. And it is spitting in the face of my God. And I will not allow it. So here I'm telling you, don't say that again. Why? Isaiah 53, he was beaten that you would be made whole. Why was he beaten? Why did he go to the cross? So that you didn't have to stay broken. So that anybody that's suffering DID, dissociative identity disorder, you don't have to. One revelation of who Jesus Christ is will put all of those things, those fragmented parts of your soul, back together. I see it happen. I see it happen. We don't get out of boot camp. We wonder why we can't get into active duty. We're wondering what's our call. Your call is to get healed, whole, and delivered so that you can be put into active duty. The reason why this nation is suffering is because the church is still sick. It is still crippled with sin. It is still crippled with the results of the sin of somebody else that was committed against you. It is still sick and dying, diseased with all kinds of mental health issues, with insecurity issues. We're afraid we're afraid people aren't going to like us. Who gives a rip? If somebody likes you, we have a nation to save. We have generations to save. Come on, my grandchildren need you. Your grandchildren need you. Right? So we've got to get out of boot camp. Listen to what 2 Timothy 2:4 says. Oh, no, I have no glasses. Oh, thank you so much, because she's under orders not to shake for 20 minutes while she's got her arms raised in the air videoing me. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:4, listen to this. It says, actually, I'll start with 3. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We can't get out of boot camp because we would rather suffer our own suffering from the past instead of get rid of that and start suffering with Jesus Christ. You can't suffer for Christ if you're still suffering from your past. Your past doesn't exist. That's what the new creation is. The minute, if we would start preaching the cross of Jesus Christ, if we would start preaching the gospel, the entrance into the gospel of Jesus Christ, into the kingdom of God, the way it's actually laid out in the Bible, instead of just saying things like, Jesus loves you, would you like to give your life to the Lord? No, I see you, your mental mess. I see your ruined marriage. I see your absolute, you know, crazy life. I want nothing to do with that. We have to be able to get rid of our own pain. It's, guys, listen, the truth of the cross of Jesus Christ, the truth of an actual Christian is that when somebody revealed to us, when the Lord opened our eyes to the magnificence of Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, we were able to see beyond the veil of humanity. We were able to see past pain, beyond pain. We were able to see beyond betrayal, beyond sickness and disease, that Jesus Christ literally suffered it all, that I would in an instant, because of the love of the Father, not just the love of Jesus. We have such a hard time with the love of the Father, that Jesus Christ is the heart of the Father for you. So we get this revelation. All of a sudden, it all opens up and we see Christ suffering all for us. And he's saying to me, listen, I know, baby, I know, son, I know, daughter, what you've suffered, but I am suffering far more so that I can just pull all of it out of you, that you will trust me, that you will give it to me. I don't want you to live this way. That's not me. It was never me. It was not meant to happen to you. It was the fallen nature of man. It is the devil. But I have come to erase it, to forgive all sin as though it never happened without the requirement of punishment. Do you know that when you suffer pain, mental anguish, when you suffer all of those terrible emotions, that is perpetual punishment. It's not legal. He said he suffered and died to take the punishment out of you, off of you, that you would never have to. It's not just so that you won't commit sin. It's so that he can take the perpetual punishment of somebody else's sin that was committed against you, and now it's all that punishment is raging around in your mindset, raging around and stealing from you and crippling your ability to have confidence, your ability to rise up in the glory of God. He pulls that punishment out of you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that means? I'll never remember. I had an encounter. I literally was walking in my living room, and before I got my foot set on the floor, the Lord opened up this entire paradigm for me. He said, one of the greatest significances of that, and for all of us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, was that even though my ex-husband is still unsaved, Christ died for him. He is in covenant. God's in covenant. He's not reciprocal of the covenant. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died so that it gave him the legal right to take the punishment of my ex-husband, his name, I won't say it, my ex-husband's sin out of me. So the minute every time my husband punched me, boom, right? It said something to me and it released punishment into me. He was never punished by the law. He had no remorse. Dude was usually high or drunk. He never did it when he was sober. He would always claim he didn't remember. He wasn't punished at all. I was punished. See, sin, the just deserts of sin is punishment. And punishment is all, it's always with sin. It always carries punishment. So he punches me and releases punishment into me by the things I now feel about myself. And now I'm living in under punishment for his sin. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that he had the legal right, even though my ex-husband was not under covenant, Christ had the legal right to pull the punishment for his sin out of me. That is powerful, isn't it? I'm telling you what, it set me free. This is the type of stuff that gets you free in a revelation. I just give anybody who has ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, you're getting set free right now. And I'm saving you a lot in therapy. I'm not joking. I'm not even joking. So let me finish. I haven't even got to the rest of this thing here. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. Do you know that boot camp in the military is designed to get the civilian out of you? First of all, a civilian is somebody who's not in the military. You're supposed to be soldiers. We're in an era of war. This nation is fraying at the seams because we can't get out of boot camp. We're not in active duty. We're not at the front line. We might be praying, and that's good, but there's a lot more to this than praying. You know, you have to be able to have peace in your marriages. You have to be able to, so war is conflict, right? We're conflict avoidant. But the Lord has sent us into war. You cannot be conflict avoidant. We don't want to ever hurt anybody's feelings by speaking the truth. You're out of order. The Lord, listen, I know that this sounds strong, but this is what's going to get us to victory. Right? We will not confront the conflict within our own souls. We're out of order. We won't confront and make peace with the conflict in our marriages. We're out of order. This is very important. Boot camp is mostly a mental game. We know that the battle is in the mind. If we cannot get healthy minds, if we cannot gain healthy souls, we cannot be deployed because you'll be destroyed. And there are other people's lives connected to yours that will die too. We need to rise up in what the Lord has asked us to do. And the number one thing is to get healed. Come on. Come on. Come on. I feel for you. I feel for your pain. I feel for your pain. But stroking our pain, obsessing over our pain instead of Christ's pain, obsessing over our suffering instead of his suffering, is diabolical. This is how the Lord speaks to me. That's why I speak to you. He is not super sweet to me. I mean, his tone is nice. It's literally, I feel loved, but he never sugarcoats anything. There's no sugar on the lips of Jesus Christ. There's no sugar. He's not going to lie to me. He wants me healed and whole. We only have so many years on this planet to make an effect for the kingdom of God, and we waste it, and we wonder why we're in the state that we're in this nation, where girls are turning themselves into boys, and boys are turning themselves into girls, and parents are saying it's okay. Church people are saying it's okay. Church people are sanctioning abortion. You know why? It's because we've not confronted our own pain. And we have to now pander to everybody else's. Instead of submitting to his. Because his is the only one that has resurrection power on it. Get up on out of that grave and don't go back. Don't go back. We've got to get out of boot camp. We've got to get deployed into active duty. He can't trust a nation. He cannot trust the harvest field to a bunch of people who don't walk in the gospel, the newness of life. It's not about what you can say. It's about what you can prove. Me being able to sit up here and talk to you this way is proof that I am healed, whole, set free, delivered, filled with the glory of God. I was afraid of my own shadow. I told you that. Now I'm traveling all over the country preaching this stuff, getting people saved left, right, and center who thought they were saved for 30 years. Getting people healed, whole, and set free. Come on. It's what your marriage needs. As wives, we're really good at looking at our husbands and telling, just saying, lying to ourselves, you know, if he'd just get right with God, we'd be okay. No, honey, if you would get right with God. And gentlemen, the same goes for you. Deal with your pain. Get it out of you. Do not take it out on your spouse. Do not take it out on your children. We need somebody. We need to be confronting. Amen? I'm just going to close with this. And thank you so much for allowing me to share this with you. We have to get into a place of active duty because church is not active duty. Going to conference? Woo! No, not active duty. It's good. It's fun. I love it. And I love speaking at it. I'll speak at them all day long, every day. I love it. But I'm going to whoop your butt because I'm a drill sergeant. It's my job. But conference and church is not active duty. Out there is active duty. Here, churches, there are combat training centers. There are MASH unit, our field hospitals. It is not active duty. Oh, I opened the door. I served on Sunday. I was deployed into my assignment, into ushering. No, you weren't. You're a part of the family, and it's your job. As it's a part of your family commitment to work in the nursery, to do all of these things. It's you're supposed to be here to you know, heal the wounds and send them back out into active duty. Active duty is out beyond the four walls. But are we filling our churches in the droves, by the droves, with those that are lost? No, because we're afraid to share our testimony. We're afraid to tell how good Jesus is, what he did. We're afraid to talk about him and work in case we get fired. Well, what about if you don't make it into heaven? What about if you go to heaven without anybody with you? What if you have to give an account for your city before Jesus? Because you're gonna. What if you have to give an account for your nation? Because he gave us the command to disciple nations and we won't even let anybody disciple us. Oh, I know. Isn't this what we need to hear? Isn't it? Does anybody feel empowered? Like, yes, I'm ready to enlist. I'm ready to say, I'm ready for the draft. You know, if we're not careful, in the natural, that's coming down the pipeline. In the natural, if we don't do it first in the spiritual, there will be a draft. There will be a war. God bless you. I love you.
I want you to pray for us, whatever's on your heart, because there's some stuff that was said right there that we need to deal with. So whatever's on your heart, if you want to do an altar call, whatever, but we need to respond to that.
All right. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Listen, this is no time to pretend like you've got it all together if you don't. And I can tell you, I'll bet my bottom dollar, everybody around you already knows you're broken anyway, because of the way you behave, etc. So please do not put your pious little church face on. I call it my paper bag princess. It's time to rip it off, all the false facades. I'm going to ask right now, any one of you who feels any form of conviction from this word today, I want you to come forward to the altar, and we're going to deal with it. Could you bring me up my water, please? Just the normal water's okay. Don't lie to yourselves, because, you know, we sit and we do that so often. There's no shame. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you're holding on, if you're still sitting down, but you're still struggling with emotional pain because of something somebody did to you, whether it be your past or whether it be yesterday or this morning, I need you to come forward. We have to be obedient. You know, basic training gets us ready to say, yes, sir, and to answer, to do, to immediately do whatever the commander tells us at the drop of a hat with no hesitation. Thank you for your humility in coming up here and your vulnerability. There's no judgment. We need to get this right. So every one of you that's carrying pain, emotional pain still, I want to turn your eyes back to Jesus. You know, the veil comes over our eyes every time we turn away from Jesus. And when we actually turn to Jesus, not the Jesus that we've created in our mind, but the real Jesus, the veil is removed and you can see his glory. Some of you have experienced great pain in your life. Some of you are still bound in sin. Do you know why you're still bound by sin? Because you're still bound in pain. And you're looking for a way to feel good that is outside of Christ, because you haven't seen him properly. You need to know that the butchering that Jesus went through was to remove the butchering of your soul when other people treated you badly. When they spoke negative, harmful words, when they physically or sexually assaulted you, harmed you, they tried to destroy you. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, was butchered beyond the recognition of a man. They could scarcely tell he was human when they were done with him. All of that abuse, the enemy has tried to butcher your identity, and you can scarcely tell who you are. But Jesus was butchered that you could be made whole. That's all it takes, is understanding and believing that what Jesus went through was literal. This is not an analogy. It was literal. The Father's love and the love of the Son, the love of the Holy Spirit towards each and every one of us was so immense that he was willing to suffer the way he did because he loves you so much. And all he asks is that we believe that. That all of those things that you believe about yourself because somebody else harmed you in one way or another can't matter anymore. It screams in your ear, but the Lord wants to completely diffuse it today. I want you to open your hearts and I want you to say, Jesus. I'm sorry. I didn't believe that what you did for me was stronger, more powerful than what anyone ever did to me. I give you the punishment that I've been living under because I didn't understand. I give you mental health issues. The abuse, whether verbal, sexual, or physical, is not mine to carry. It wasn't my fault, but somehow I came into agreement with it. I came into agreement with what it said about me. And I'm living under it. But your word says that your blood speaks a better word and removed all of the pain. Removed all of the punishment. He paid the mental illness so that you didn't have to, the mental distress, so that you don't have to, so give it to him right now. He suffered the emotional distress and the pain so you don't have to, so give it to him right now. Just release it to him. And now, that you've done that, you need to commit to stop going back to the grave. Heavenly Father, you are my liberator from all of the pain and destruction. And I'm saying yes to being free for real. And every time that stuff in my mind comes up, I'm going to fight it. I'm going to refuse it. I come out of agreement with it. I command you to get out of my body. All of it, get out of me. I'm coming into the army of the Lord. Fit for duty. Fit for active duty. I say, yes, Lord. You are my healer. You're my deliverer. And I will prove it by becoming well, by being healed. So you can heal my family and send me out to heal the nation. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a great big shout. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
I was just going to sing over you. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Sing it with me, you guys. Come on.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Join us, congregation.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
It washes white as snow. Sing it again. Why don't we stand up? Let's sing it together over these guys. Come on.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow.
Hallelujah. 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 Father, we just come as a congregation as she's brought this word. And we open our hearts for this, that you're the one that goes in and does the work. As we go out of this place, as we go into our week, as we go into all of this, we believe you right now for an impartation, for the word cut to the heart, just like it says. They were cut to the heart. You cut to the heart today to deal with issues. We thank you for it. Anything else? Anything you want to pray? Anything you want to...
I just want to say this one last thing to you. If you will not confront head on the conflict within your mind with the Word of God, boot camp teaches you how to use your weapons. You got to use them on you first. That two-edged sword is not meant to go against anyone else until it's gone on you, been used on you. Learn how to fight against what's going on in here. If it's not true, you take it down. You don't bow to it. You make it bow to him. You've got to get militant with yourself. We're too easy on ourselves, and then we get militant on everyone else. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Renee. Amen. I put the name of the Lord on you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Be blessed, everybody.